is wine tasting. Don't you think it's sad? You had to start so young.
Welcome to Recovery Talk 101, and we are working 900 AM WURD. This is Recovery Talk 101. I'm your host, Rick Ford, and you're having some problems with our guest, John. Are you there, John? Listen, we're going to open up the phone lines at 215-634-8065, toll free 1-888. Listen. It's been a long day, and you guys know how I am about production. This is the show. Folks watch this show across the nation. So let me get right into the discussion. Today, it's the June the 12th. Today is June the 12th, and what I'm going to do is we're going to have our guests call in. We're going to get John White to call in to the show at 215-634-8065. But let me bring you guys up to date. June the 10th was the first round of Recovery Idol. Yes, Thursday was June the 10th, the first round of Recovery Idol. And we are down to 16 wonderful contestants. And believe it or not, two folks were eliminated. So we're going to keep things moving right along. The next round of Recovery Idol will take place July the 8th. Yes, we're doing a virtual Recovery Idol competition. And then the finals will take place August the 20th right here at the wonderful Dell Music Center right here in the city of Philadelphia. So let me just give you some more information about what's going to be happening. Again, today we had to funeralize our good friend Crawford. And right after that, I went to the Christ-like church with Troy Baylor from WWDB. Put down your guns and raise our sons. Riley, we want to thank the folks over there at the Christ-like church. Again, we are really trying to change the direction of what's happening in the city of Philadelphia with gun violence. Then after that, unfortunately, on a somber note, my good friend, Greg Blackman, we had to go over to Lynn Ellis Funeral Home to make arrangements for him. I want to thank my good friend, Kevin Washington, the Blackman family, and all the folks who support the many of us in recovery, our good friend, Greg Blackman. And I'm going to give you more information about that funeral that's going to take place probably this upcoming Friday right there at 10th in Rockland. So that's going to be the funeral for Greg Blackman. It's a lot going on, so I want to get back to our host. John White, are you there? Apparently, I can't hear you, John. So we're struggling right there. So, John, can you hear me? Apparently, he can't hear me. So, John, give us a call at 215-634-8065. We're going to do it just like that there. Then all you guys are out there that are now practicing social distancing, who took your masks off, you got your vaccine, the Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer, we pray that you guys keep continually to practice that safe thing. So we're going to go back to John. I don't think John can hear us. We're Skyping in So, John, go to your phone and give us a call. 215-634-8065. And if you guys are viewing and listening, we want to know exactly what are you doing in your community as the weather changes. What are you doing out there? Are you still practicing social distancing? Have you got your vaccine? What's your thoughts for the summer? Are you catching planes? Are you taking trips? It's a lot going on. So we want to make sure that...
There's someone very close to you, and they're in a lot of trouble with opioids, alcohol, maybe other drugs. You're desperate to help, but you don't know what to do. So you just watch, and just as desperately, you do nothing. Well, there is something you can do. Call the consortium. They've helped a lot of people in their 50 years, thousands, good people who just need to get out of their own jail. The consortium's multicultural clients come from all over the region to their West Philadelphia location because the consortium's understanding and proven methods are treasured by them because they work. And while they could go anywhere, they choose the consortium, and so can you. Call 267-233-5163. If you know someone in trouble, just give us a call. We'll help with the rest. The consortium. 267-233-5163.
Men and Women for Human Excellence is a drug and alcohol treatment program seeking to strengthen, empower, and inspire individuals through holistic, person-first, strength-based recovery, such as drug and alcohol treatment to individuals and families through two levels of care, intensive outpatient and outpatient. They also provide assistance to individuals to begin the recovery process for issues related to their mental health status. Case management services are also provided to assist individuals in recovery with essential services that are necessary for a successful transition and integration into their communities as a productive, responsible citizen. One other service they provide is a substance-free living environment which alcohol and substance users can holistically rebuild their lives by using the person-first, strength-based approach that emphasizes recovery and resilience. They also provide free transportation. For more information, call 215-769-7045. That's 215-769-7045. They are a family-strengthening organization.
Greater Philadelphia Health Action, GPHA, has been a champion of quality and comprehensive healthcare services for more than 50 years. GPHA is your total healthcare home, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services. GPHA now offers telehealth visits to connect you with a provider from the safety of your home. Sick visits, follow-ups, chronic disease medication management, subspecialty care, behavioral health therapy, dental, and more. Pediatrics through adults. Know your health. Know yourself. Be aware of your health and any underlying health issues that you may have. In-person appointments are also available, ensuring all CDC guidelines are followed for your safety. Schedule an appointment today with GPHA, 1-888-296-GPHA or gphainc.org. GPHA, your total health care home. 1-888-296-GPHA or visit us online at gphainc.org.
Hi, this is Council President Darrell Clark, and I listen to my main man, Rick Ford, heard here on 900 AM WURD.
Hi, I'm the First Lady of Recovery, Sheila Ford, and you're listening to Recovery Talk 101 with Rick Ford on 900 AM WURD and 96.1 FM.
Back here at 900 AM WURD, and we have our guest on the phone. We have John White from the Consortium. John, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing the best I can, man, in spite of all. Just a lot going on. It's been a long day, John, and a couple of funerals and some community events, and wow. it keeps going. Let's talk about what's happening with you, bro.
Well, we are in a once-in-a-generation moment with respect to funding for behavioral health services, addictions, and mental health. The state is projecting that at the end of this month, on June 30th, they're going to end this budget year with a $3 billion surplus.
Really?
They're projecting a $3 billion surplus. The question is, are we going to use some of that money to correct some of the ills within our behavioral health systems? Can we strengthen our community-based organizations that provide behavioral health, whether that's an alcohol treatment or mental health treatment? And it's important that, in fact, this is an appeal to the listening audience. Call your elected officials and to tell them to support more funding for behavioral health services. Rick, it's $3 billion surplus. $3 billion, not millions, $3 billion. We will never have an opportunity like this again to have state government have the necessary resources,
right,
closing some of those gaps, prevention, training, staff development, licensing support. All of those things can be addressed with this money and have plenty left over for everybody else. It is so important because everybody knows that the black providers are underfunded. Everybody knows that. You know, and the Coalition of Competent Providers, which is an organization with folks who are representative of the provider community, who are culturally sensitive to our community, wants to make sure that that emphasis is placed on some very, very key and important items. And like I said, this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, you know, to do prevention and intervention, to improve access to services, to invest in workforce development. And so it is not going to happen unless the elected officials hear from the African-American community on this issue. So I am almost begging our listening audience to reach out, particularly to their state officials, the state representatives and their senators, call them and ask them to support behavioral health services in this critical moment. This is not a competition between the addiction community, recovery community, and recovery community mental health, because everybody knows that those are overlapping issues. So let's come together and let's fight for what is right. And let's move in the direction of providing adequate funding for African-American organizations in the provider community that are so important, so vital to the life and health of our community. So I wanted to make sure that I put that across, Rick, and I'll hopefully get a chance to say it again later. But you will never have another opportunity like this for addiction services, for mental health services, for behavioral health services to be enhanced. $3 billion surplus. So that's it for me right now, Rick.
Well, I think it's vital that you expand more about that in the significance of why $3.8 billion surplus for behavioral health services, substance abuse, mental health services, how important that is for Black and brown people. You know, and I say that for many reasons. I'm seeing all this other money that's being allocated for gun violence and all this other stuff that's being really coming into communities, but really are people taking advantage of the opportunity to get this money to increase or decrease some of the problems that we are faced with? You follow me?
I hear you. Like I said, it's $3 billion, Rick. There's no reason why we can't invest in gun violence prevention and in gun violence reduction, as well as what we're trying to do to keep people set, people seeking mental wellness. Look, this pandemic has had one hell of an impact on our community.
Yes.
Suicides are up. The rate of depression is up. PSPT. All of those signs. We're drinking more. We're getting high more. Okay? And it is devastating our community, and it's going to have lasting effects. And the resources that are available now at the federal level coming in, at the state level, and the funds that are going to be transferred directly to the city are adequate enough to invest in solutions and in prevention activity on those particular issues. But it is not going to happen if they don't hear from us. If they don't know what our dilemma is, if they don't realize the impact that this is having on our community, then they're not going to react. They're not.
Well, you know, funny, it's John, when I think about all the external things that we've been faced with coronavirus and all these things, I don't know if folks really understand the true significance of what we've been up against, and we are still behind the ball, right? Yes. And I'll say that for many reasons. Folks have to pay close attention to how things are moving. I'll go all the way back to January 6th. And when you look at all this stuff that's been happening, are we really awakened? We can no longer be asleep when it's critical time for us to unify and make good decisions. Yeah. And when you talk about what's happening across the nation, federal government, our local affiliates, our political climate here up in Harrisburg and further on, we have to rely on these folks to raise their voices about the need for that funding, that money, a surplus. That's not a good thing.
Not only that, Rick, but the attack on voting rights. Do people realize that the Pennsylvania Senate and the House, the Republicans, want to limit your opportunities to vote? They want to restrict mail-in voting. They're telling you that you can't give somebody a glass of water while you're standing in line to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying everything they can to reduce our political influence on one hand and to neuter us when it comes to the influence and the power of our politics, and then to allow our community to suffer the means and the ends involving drug addiction, alcoholism, and mental health issues. We better wake up, because they are not playing, Rick.
Well, you know, John, when you look around what's happening in the country, and I'll just water this down, for over the last 30 days, there's been a multitude of mass shootings, and I'm not talking about here in the city of Philadelphia. I'm talking about around the country.
Dallas, Texas, Orlando, Florida.
Yes. And here in the city of Philadelphia, we are just been inundated with senseless gun violence. You know, and I'll go back, I'll say this till the last days of my life, that when my nephew Stanley Ford was murdered back in August of 20, and I went out to that cemetery.
Your nephew.
Yes. And I visit that cemetery since then, and it was basically impossible for me to identify where his grave was, because there's been a plethora of murders around the city of Philadelphia. And I'll say this again. The funeral director, my good friend from 59th and Drive, he told me, he said, Rick, I want you to look around the cemetery. All these bodies you see are homicide victims, men, women, and children.
Yes.
We're the most forgiving, we're the most loving people, we're the most praying people, but we still are, these things are happening to us, and it's quite painful.
Rick, some of the cemeteries are dedicating whole sections of their cemetery for victims of homicide in Philadelphia. That's how many. It's dead. And it's senseless. It's senseless. We're trying to do the right thing without knowing what the right thing is. You follow me?
Yeah, absolutely, John. For the last week, I've been watching, and I applaud these students who are graduating from high school, making preparation for their collegiate journey. Right. But, you know, when I say this, and I hope folks that are viewing and listening, we spend more money on caskets than on college.
How about that?
We got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do. And we have to do it, Rick. But we can't sit around and say, oh, this is the past. They're always doing something. No. You don't understand. They're doing this to us on purpose. It is no accident. No accident that Obama won Pennsylvania over Trump, and now they want to reverse that like it never happened.
Yeah.
This is the Pennsylvania House and Senate that are taking that stance that the election was fraudulent. Are you kidding me? And their response is to reduce or restrict our opportunity to vote. They have this huge $3 billion surplus. The same people who want to restrict your voting rights also don't want to invest in helping us have a healthier community. It makes no sense except to them.
Yeah. So Jack, let me ask you this.
Speak out and hold people accountable, Rick.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
I would agree. Okay. So, John, you know, when you were here in the city of Philadelphia City Council, and then becoming the Secretary of the State, correct?
Yes, sir, Secretary of Welfare.
Secretary of Welfare. Now, I kind of want you to really look at the difference in terms of the dynamics of what's happening politically with leadership. And I'm only holding those folks, our people who are in place as from a leadership perspective.
Speak on that a little deeper.
What I mean by that is, I think historically we have been losing based on the level of putting people in position and voting for people. And it's almost like where are we in terms of gauging the pendulum? We are still falling behind based on our ability to put people of color in position to represent us or do what's with due diligence and do what's right for us. I'm sorry. It's just my opinion.
But it's an opinion that is shared by hundreds of thousands of people. But that's a voice. Those are messages that have to be articulated throughout our city. They have to hear us, not only about making sure that we have the right representation in terms of elected officials, but then we got to hold them accountable. It is not automatically assumed that they're going to speak up. It is not automatically assumed that they're going to fight for us. They will when they know that their voters are demanding it. And that's all I'm asking, that people pick up the phone, call your state rep, call your state senator, make sure everyone in your family is registered. Commit to, no matter what they do, to try to keep you from voting, you press on and you make sure you vote anyway. There is a redistricting that is taking place. They are redistricting. You're drawing the lines for the state legislature, for the state senate, for the Congress, and we're quiet about that. We are quiet about that. We shouldn't be.
We are you don't want to think of what the Republicans have been doing in terms of really to prevent us from really gaining any leverage. You know, again, this doesn't stop. This is something that's not new. I see what they did in Georgia. I see what they constantly are doing around the nation. And until we wake up and develop a force field analysis and gathering and start speaking now, I think a lot of people are still asleep, John.
I know, but it's time to wake up now.
Yeah.
It's time to wake up now. Yolanda Adams sings that song, This Too Shall Pass.
Yeah.
Well, you can, how it passes is up to you.
So I haven't had an opportunity to find out what the mayor's budget is. And I'm going to do some more extensive find out what's in the mayor's budget for the city of Philadelphia.
Well, I know that Darrell Clark's leadership, and that is Cindy Bass and Helen Gim, my man down in South Philly.
Kenyatta.
How could I forget my little brother? You know, they have really been on the front lines and being serious advocates about making sure that this budget funds some very critical needs in the city. I know personally, I've been involved in the whole discussion around mobile crisis and the relationship between the police and mental health agencies. They've really been very vocal about making sure that that gets addressed in this budget. And I believe it will. But unfortunately, I'm not aware or not, have not paid attention into it that way. To other aspects of the budget, I've been singularly focused on the mental health side and the addiction side. And I apologize for that. But a crisis out of the death of Walter Wallace, make sure that something good comes out of it. We're all on our way to doing that. The council has been very supportive of those activities.
Well, you know, it's funny when you go back to that case of Walter Wallace that happened out there in West Philadelphia. And I applaud you for your commitment and leadership in the consortium. And we always look back at, had the city of Philadelphia had the appropriate leadership in policing in terms of mental health workers, social workers who could de-escalate some of these irate situations when they get the call. So, and I watched this just recently where they had the city of Philadelphia Department of Behavioral Health, Dr. Gene Wright, and working collectively with the police department, having the right person answer that phone who can really walk people through and policing how to de-escalate these kind of scenarios.
Dr. Wright has really been on the front lines on this issue, and he's to be applauded for his effort from inside the government.
Yeah, to make absolutely.
Sure that those lines do not get crossed. And when you think about it, you know, there's some who say, well, you're just against the police. No. The police officers don't want to respond to mental health calls because they know they don't know anything about it.
Not at all.
They welcome that kind of assistance. Sharpening their skills by making sure that they're trained in crisis intervention and de-escalation techniques is one thing. But a trained professional helping to provide guidance and support will be much more effective, I believe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always said this, John, as the weather changes and becomes 85 to 90 degrees, and I ride around the city of Philadelphia, and I keep a close eye on how things are moving. And I'll say this,
how we're gathering.
How we're not only gathering, but where we're gathering at. I'll go back to the very beginning of, you know, it's critical for me to ride through Kensington and seeing that the climate of what's happening down there has not changed one bit. Right?
Come on, Rick. Come on, Rick. Don't say that. With all the resources that they say they're putting into that area,
I'll say this here, and it's just my opinion as a host, not on behalf of WRD. I think it's all a part of the plan strategically in terms of what's happening with gentrification and all that other stuff. So,
yeah, but what I'm saying is, Rick, they keep talking about all the resources that they're putting in there. When the police commissioner speaks, and she talks about their efforts around drugs and mental health, they only talk about Kensington.
Well, you know, John, I'll say this. On my way to work every day, I purposely ride through there. And I need to be honest about my statement. I see these kids who are face to see folks urinating, deprecating, selling having drugs, sex. Using drugs, and all that.
Having sex.
Right?
They see it all. That's what they're growing up in.
Right, but how do we fix that in terms of prevention and intervention methods so that these kids don't become victims of what they are faced with? That's my fight. That's my argument.
I got it. And if I had a solution, I'd be a saint. But I guarantee you one thing, if we came together to discuss what are the most effective solutions, how do we address it? We're speaking in one voice when it comes to gun violence. I don't believe that we're speaking in one voice, if at all, when it comes to what we can do to reduce the amount of addiction. I don't know that we're speaking in one voice.
So, but here's my point, John. Here's my point. And I want to be honest about this. I don't care how much. It's not about the resources. See, you can put all the resources down there, but if you're just switching seats on the Titanic. If the city of Philadelphia doesn't do the right thing to clean that up like they did Gurney Street, listen, it's serious business down there. Drug dealers are rapidly just doing what they're doing with no punitive measures involved.
What are your ideas about how to address it? What is you think is part of the right thing?
Like me, personally?
Yeah, what do you think?
Now, you know, it's almost like you get the right people who knows what's happening down there. I'll give you an example. Historically, 20 years ago, black and brown people could not be down there selling drugs. You know why? It was the geographical boundaries. You couldn't go down Kensington and sell drugs 20 years ago. Right?
Remember, I'm older than you.
I'm sorry, young fella, but here's what I want you to do. I want anyone who's listening and viewing, I want you to ride from Kensington and Lehigh all the way to Kensington, Allegheny, and I want you to visually tell me, who do you see out there doing what? Not the people that are using. I want you to be clear about what I'm saying. I want you to take a visual look, and you tell me what you see, what kind of activity is happening out there. You'll call me back and give me your answer.
Wow. Do you remember years ago what was taking place at 5th and Butler?
Huh?
Remember 5th and Butler?
8th and Butler.
8th and Butler. Remember that?
Yes. Right.
Right? Well, the reason they got cleaned up was because the community revolted.
Yeah. It's, you know, and guess what? We're so consumed, worried about the coronavirus, right? But the drug epidemic is still at its highest down there.
Rick, you can tell me something. The problems that we had before corona, we have more of now.
Yes.
Nothing went away except the flu. Okay? Nothing went away. Nothing got better except the flu. Yeah. The same issues around resources for the recovery community, resources for the behavioral health community were weak then, and they've grown weaker since then during this virus because of the increased number of people who are being affected and infected. And
yeah.
It requires us to stand up and say something. I'm not asking people to march. I want you to make one phone call, two phone calls, one to your state senator and one to your state rep. That's all.
Okay.
And tell them, give $3 billion. That, you hear what I said, Rick?
$3 billion. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot,
that's
of,
a lot
money.
Of money.
What are they going to do with it?
Well, you know, this city of Philadelphia inundated with money that's unaccounted for. When we start talking about the city solicitor and all the money that, you know, John, that's a whole show we can do about where is the money, right?
And you know, what are they doing with it?
Well, of course. I even think about the money that's being allocated for the traffic authority and the money that they should be spending towards the school system of Philadelphia. Man,
you hear me?
Come on.
They're short of the school district.
Yeah. Okay. And my problem has always been I still got issues with height. And I don't think let me pull that back a little bit. I think Heidegger is just doing what he's been hired to do. How about that?
I hope that's not true.
Huh?
Okay. I hope that that's not true. Because if it is, he was hired for the wrong reason.
Well, when you think about, when you look at the dilapidation of all these schools that are run down, asbestos.
Being reopened in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, man. Our kids, but think about what our kids are dealing with.
And what have they missed during this pandemic?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they mentioned they were going to open up some schools because of this and that, because of COVID. And so many ways folks are losing their lives and the ability to get educated. So, John, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and continue this thoughtful discussion about what's happening in the city of Philadelphia with COVID-19, gun violence, the political climate. We can go on and on, right? Phone lines are open for those that are viewing and listening. 215-634-8065. We are waiting for you. We want to hear your concerns, your comment. Have you took the vaccine? What's your fear factor? What's going on? How you making out financially? What's happening in your way? We'll be right back.
There's a new option in Philadelphia for the moment a person decides to stop using drugs or alcohol. It's called Access Point, operated by Northeast Treatment Centers, the most trusted nonprofit provider of addiction treatment services in Philadelphia. At Access Point, you can walk in right now or anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We know that waiting to receive medication is a big reason people don't follow through with treatment. At Access Point, once you make the decision to stop using, we can stabilize you and administer medication immediately. You are able to stay with us for up to 23 hours so we can monitor and treat withdrawal symptoms. We can then work with you to develop a plan of care and help move you into the most appropriate next level of care to meet your needs. If this is your day to make that decision and you want immediate attention, contact Access Point at 844-533-8200. That's 844-533-8200. We are located at 5th and Spring Garden. We are here when you need us. Access Point.
Hi, this is Council President Darrell Clark, and I listen to my main man, Rick Ford, heard here on 900 AM WURD.
Hi, I'm the First Lady of Recovery, Sheila Ford, and you're listening to Recovery Talk 101 with Rick Ford on 900 AM WURD and 96.1 FM.
Thank you.
we're back here at 930 WURD, George Duke. I love that song. So I'm back here with John White from the consortium. John, are you traveling sometimes this summer?
I'm hoping to be able to get away. We go to Virginia Beach every year, but I'm trying to see if I can get a long weekend in somewhere this summer. We need a break, you know?
Yeah.
Beverly has been working so hard to keep me straight and keeping our house safe and our family well. She needs a break. And I'm wondering if I can get at least a long weekend.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with you there, John, that I think we all need a break. It's kind of, you want to kind of set down and subside some of those emotional feelings we've been dealing with since.
And that's hard, isn't it?
It's kind of hard for, you know.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, I tell folks that we got a lot of work to do, but at the same time, John, do I have the courage or the fortitude to say, hey, I need a break? You know, me and Sheila and her mom, oh, by the way, happy birthday to Mom Sanders. She turned 83 yesterday. My little sister, Talia Ford, her birthday was yesterday, too. So my baby sister and my mother-in-law birthday was yesterday, June 11th. And they both had a great time. So I'm just trying to stay in it, John. It's relatively rough, man. Emotionally and physically, I've been just really trying to get to the other side. I've been trying to keep things moving in the right direction in terms of what we community-based stuff with Recovery Idol and work at the Pennsylvania Alliance of Recovery Residents. By the way, we're going to be doing a food giveaway. June 26th, Saturday, right there in front of our office at 5113 Torresdale Avenue. We're going to make sure we provide the community with food. Just come through and get the food, because folks need food, and we want to make sure we provide them with that. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we get food every other Tuesday at our site at 58th and Walnut Street.
We're
feeding more than 100 people every time.
Say it again?
We're feeding more than 100 people a day when we're there, giving them food, giving out food. But Rick, you raised a very important aspect of our own mental health. At some point, you're not going to be able to help anyone else if you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
And when you are a giver, I just firmly believe this. When the most of your life, most of your contribution is about giving, you need to recharge too.
Yes. Yes, John.
You know, because if it's energy that you want to give, you have to have energy. If it's patience that you want to provide, you have to be patient. You have to make sure that you get selfish for a moment and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm speaking from experience, and I got a feeling you are too.
Yeah, I would agree 100%, John. And it's funny, I'm almost to a point, I have to have a doctor's appointment Monday, but I'm about to go back into some personal therapy. In order for me to be vibrant.
Physical therapy. Or behavioral?
Behavioral. Okay. Just think it's essential for me. If I'm going to stay at this pace, I'm really going to need to recharge my battery emotionally. Because if I had to weigh it out, it's not, you know. So, and I think you would understand that.
I sure do. And you need to do it.
Yeah.
You just need to do it.
And I'm not going to hesitate.
I'm really proud of you, Rick, for that.
Yeah.
To people, it takes courage to make yourself, allow yourself to become vulnerable. You know? We want to keep so many secrets. We want to try to convince people that, you know, we're okay. When you know, you're not.
Yeah. You are so right, John. I've been struggling physically, which has created problems for me.
That doesn't help, does it?
Yeah. It's kind of painful because when folks see me physically, they said, Rick, you're not walking right. You're limping. Hopefully I can resolve this Monday. But in spite of the physical stuff I'm going through, I'm really about to go check in and get some emotional wellness, because in order to keep doing the things I want to do, I just can't do it all like that. So
I hope you call me when we're offline so we can talk.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Even when we are seeking and getting help, we also need support.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be reminded, one, how blessed we are that we're able to, you know, have access to that kind of support, and also blessed that he put us in the right state of mind that lets us know when we need to be reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really believe that healing starts from the inside.
Yes.
You know? So I'm so proud of you, man.
Yeah.
That's a hell of an example for us.
Yeah.
You have an enormous audience. And for people to hear that, even the great and illustrious Rick, you know, Ford, reaches out for help when he thinks he needs it, that it's okay for them to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sending that example. I'll try to follow it.
And, you know, John, I thank you so much, because I'm very strategic in terms of relegating these kind of information to over the air publicly. I want people to know, hey, you know, I'm not always on top of things, right? So, you know, and it's a thoughtful thing when you can be honest and say, hey, this is where I'm at.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I don't run the street.
And not be afraid to.
You know, I've been diligently trying to get some younger guys to take over the baseball league, because I understand the importance of what these kids need. We can't wait on the big boys and big girls. We have to. Nobody's going to save us but us, John.
You know how Dave Richardson.
Yep.
That's what Dave Richardson used to say.
Yeah. And
no
I'm going to
help us
but that.
Us.
Yeah. So, John, we're going to wrap things up, man. I appreciate
it.
No, we got about a good 10, eight, 9 more minutes.
Okay. I'm sorry. What are you doing? Tell us what you're doing.
Huh?
What are you doing? We got Recovery Idol coming up, right?
Oh, Recovery Idol, the next round of Recovery Idol. And by the way, for those who miss Recovery Idol, you can go on our Facebook page, Philadelphia Recovery Philadelphia Recovery Idol. And you can go watch the show from Thursday night. It's some great talent. John, some great talent.
All right.
And I'm not singing.
You must have had somebody you knew or some relative that performed, huh?
No, not at all, you know. And John, the great thing about that, I don't judge. We pick celebrity judges who cannot be partial. They have a scoring sheet, judge on stage performance, song selection, appearance, crowd involvement, and I stay out of that. I understand my assignment. And it's a great thing to give people in recovery an opportunity to showcase their talent. And I'll tell you this, John, there's a young lady there, and I'll say her name. She has an ailment, and she has a dog, ambassador. Her dog is her support measures.
Right.
Melissa Mott, she wrote a wonderful book. And in spite of her challenges, John, she still showed up to the competition. And we are going to keep her involved. She's going to come back on July the 8th and do some poetry. Recovery Idol is not so much about winning. It's about giving people an opportunity to showcase their talent. And I say it's called Recovery Idol, not Discovery Idol.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, but tell us this, though, Rick. How much has Recovery Idol grown from when you first did it?
It has grown in leaps and bounds in terms of quality of performances and folks coming out of places and you didn't know. You know what, John? Watch this. Most of the contestants, I asked them, have you ever been accompanied by a musician? A lot of people say, oh, I can sing, but have you ever been accompanied by a world-class musician? Johnny Croom, who wrote and write and
Johnny Croom
for Boyz II Men, and he has a plethora of folks he have written and produced. So anytime a person can be accompanied by a musician, what does that do for their self-esteem? Yes, oh, my right. God. So it's yeah, a great opportunity. Yeah.
I was going to say, the audience, I did it the first Recovery Idol. And then yes. I was at the one at on Lehigh Avenue.
I remember. We've been to Yasa Banquet Hall. We've been to the Church of the Advocate. We've been down there in Manayunk to that place.
I was at the one at Church of the Advocate in the standing room only.
Exactly. Well, you know what? The comedy show that's going to, I'm going to give you that. My good friend, Cigar Williams, is hosting a comedy show at the Met with Michael Collier. Michael Collier. So that's going to be a great show. So we're going to be.
What's the date, you know?
Oh, it's a couple of dates. I can't pull it off my head right now, but I'm going to make sure I'll get you there. You and Bev.
Okay.
You and Bev come. Yeah. So, well, we're going to do the finals at the Dell, and kudos go out to the wonderful folks at the Dell Music Center. Sue Slauson, Faye Garrison Green. They say, Rick, we want you to bring Recovery Idol back to the Dell on August the 20th. We're going to honor some people. We're going to have a fashion show, and we will select the winner of the Recovery Idol 2021. So, back at the Dell, yeah.
And you're going and home, huh? That's great.
And I want to pack the Dell. I want to show folks that recovery is alive and well here in the city of Philadelphia. Watch this, John. The folks at the Dell say we've had bigger crowds at Recovery Idol than some of the artists. Now,
that's what I'm saying.
And Philadelphia is a recovering town. Folks migrate to our great city. Based on what we're doing. So, John, we got to get out of here. Anybody you want to thank before I let you go?
I want to thank those members of our listening audience who decided to call their state representative or their state senator, tell them to support funding for behavioral health and drug addiction services. I want to thank you in advance because I know you will.
Yeah. So, John, I love you, man. Tell Bev, give Bev my love. Give the staff my love over there at Consortium.
You got it.
All right. So, listen,
Rick, by the way, I told them your impression when you came to the office the other week.
Oh, really?
They told me to tell you thank you.
I was so impressed, man. You have a wonderful staff over there at the West Philadelphia location for Consortium. Give those folks my love and kudos. Very professional, John.
Thank you, Rick.
That speaks in volume, man, when folks can't walk into a building and be treated with a high level of professionalism. Yeah.
Well, we deserve it.
Yeah, right. So listen, we're going to wrap things up here, man. I'm going to thank the First Lady of Recovery, Sheila Ford, my two daughters, Sierra and Quadia. My 7-year-old grandson, Sayer, and 2-year-old Samir. They went on a prom yesterday. They had some wonderful photos. Don't forget, man, stay close to your people. Love someone because someone needs to love you back. Sometimes it ain't how you fall, it's how you get up. We want to thank our producer, Mike, there at WRD for holding things down. We want to thank the WRD family. They had a big event yesterday, and it's great that they can get back out into the community. Until next week, peace, and we out of here. Don't change that dial. Stay tuned for our good friend, Lloyd Cummings, right here at 900 a.m. WURD. Until next week, peace.
Thank you. This is your life. It's 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 your life you're giving.
AARP proudly celebrates our historic 156th anniversary of Juneteenth, June 19, 1865, when the last slaves were finally emancipated in Texas. We free? That's the compelling question they asked then, and we still ask today. After over 400 years of building this country, African Americans, as in 1865, are last to America's table. We honor our ancestors and continue to pose their question. We free?
Freedom, freedom.
Black joy comes from the sound of our souls. It's the sound of our resilience, our strength, our swag, our love for one another, our spirit, our shine, our brilliance. Because no matter what challenges we face, Black joy is limitless and empowering. Visit AARP.org/black community as we celebrate Juneteenth.
Hi, this is John.
Hi, this is Juanita, owners of JD's Auto Body and Painting. We're located at 6300 Wayne Avenue, right there at the intersection of Wayne and Washington Lane.
We really like to thank all you word listeners for the support that you've given our business, and we really hope to see you in the future.
JD, tell them about our products and services we have.
We have a new state-of-the-art paint shop along with our body shop and detail shop. We can help you with the dents and scratches from the winter season.
Come to JD's Auto Body and Painting. Come on out and check us out. We're still honoring that word 10% discount. Give us a call, 215-848-5949. Again, 215-848-5949.
Thanks again for supporting our business. We really appreciate you.
See you at JD's Auto Body and Painting.
The Word Radio Newsletter. Keeping you informed, engaged, and connected. Sign up by visiting wordradio.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page and type your email address under Connect with Us. You'll receive the latest information on Word Radio, messages from our president and CEO, Sarah Lomax Reese, exclusive articles and multimedia content, and resources. Stay informed with the Word Radio Newsletter. This is Word Radio.